numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Barcala. Here at the D.
What's up, buddy?
Downtown Las Vegas. How you doing? First of all, shout out to JVT.
Yeah.
Filled in yesterday, the great Jonathan Montoble. You two should do a podcast together.
That's a great idea. It's like something that we've thought of before or something. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Let's throw that up the flagpole.
How'd your civic duty go yesterday? Said duty.
You know, Kelly, maybe people like you and people of your ilk, maybe you find the dereliction of your duty to be something that you take pride in and thumb your nose at our great country.
Yeah.
Not me. I take great pride in performing my civic duty and giving back to this nation that has given me so much. I enjoyed my 6.5 hours yesterday. Can't even get through it. In the courthouse where I was not deemed an ideal juror, apparently, and I was let out of jury duty as a prospective juror. I did not make the cut.
I'm sorry.
But I take great pride, once again, in having performed this great, great responsibility that I feel like people like you and people of your generation should really take a little more seriously.
Once again, Gil takes pride in getting cut from a team.
That was me extending. My buddy Tommy does this thing where he like over exaggerates simple life tasks. Like we sit in like an exit row in an airplane. He's like, Gilly, maybe you want to make small talk. I'd like to review our responsibilities. And he stays in this character until the flight goes off. I'm like, oh, God.
But you bust out the pamphlet. Like, I have some reading to do before this flight takes off.
Oh, man. I did not make it, Kelly. Thank you, Isaiah, for the music. I didn't make it. I don't want to get into the details. But people had jokes on Twitter. Would you like to hear the jokes about why?
Sure.
Rub.
First of all, I was dying when I can I tell what happened post show after the show yesterday?
Please, what happened?
I'm sitting here working. I'm getting a couple things done. It's probably about a half hour after the show. Dustin Sweetelson, who produces Sharp Money, shows up early that day. And he walks up, and we're kind of chatting for a couple minutes. He's like, yeah, I just saw Gil downstairs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Gil's off today. No, you didn't. He's like, yeah, he was just at McDonald's. I'm like, no. He's got jury duty. I didn't even think about, like, the courthouse is right down the
three blocks away. I just valeted like I do every morning.
And then I go to leave, and your car's parked right next to mine. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, Gil literally did his same routine and then just walked down the street to go do jury duty.
Ryan Hyatt, the elaborate cover story of jury duty that VSiN has concocted to cover the obvious suspension of Gil for his badgering of Pete Futak over college football playoff is impressive. Good job, guys. By the way, Futak is still on Twitter arguing with people about the college football playoff, and he's gotten to the capital letters stage of his arguments.
Oh, boy.
Pete, it's over. You win. FSU's not playing. Touchdown Jesus. Hopefully today marked the first time in U.S. legal history that I have to host the Megapod got anyone out of jury duty. It's exactly what happened. I said Judge Schwartz, and that was her name. I host a little something called the Megapod. Perhaps you could let me off of this. And she said, is that the one where the renounced Jew sings college and pro fight songs? I go, yes, it is.
I was going to say, just...
Why, yes, it is. You're familiar with her.
Just
artwork.
Pop up some of Todd ranting about some things. I might have gotten you off that, yeah.
She's like, you're out of here. And I gritted my way out of the courtroom in front of everybody. By the way, you know you have to, like, hold a mic and, like, talk in front of everybody and say, like, give, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And there's, like, you know, it's tens and tens of people in there.
Well, what do you mean? I'm fascinated by this. Like,
Nate Green, I think that this is, he's quoting me how I got out. He goes, quote, I think that the fakakta legal system in the U.S. is mishugana. Gil getting out of jury duty. That's what I did. It's like the George. My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
All right, wait.
I did that with a joke.
I want to actually know. So you had to hang around for a while. Then you went to lunch and you were texting me when you went to lunch because you're upset because you had to take forever.
55 breaks in the day.
Okay. So you come back in, you finally go into a courtroom.
It starts out, you're in this massive pool of people.
Hanging with
they show you a 10-minute video of what it's like, what you can expect today being a juror. Then you sit, and then they immediately they're like, "We'll take a break." That was the first break. And I'm like, "We're taking a break."
We haven't done anything yet.
I just digested my hash browns. So then they come back. 25 minutes after they said they would, and they haul us to another room. And then in that room, they finally put us in a single file line, and then we go into a courtroom. But by this time, it's like almost lunch. And the judge, we get into the courtroom, and there's about, I don't know, I'm not good at counting, but like 50 jurors, prospective jurors in there, maybe 60. And the judge then has to go through procedure. Is there anybody who has a vacation plan? Is there anybody who has a doctor's appointment they can't get out of? And, you know, that takes every single person that raises their hand. That takes forever, and it gets to lunchtime. By this time, you're already in the afternoon. Before you even get to, and then she tells you what the case is about. And mine happened to be a serious case about, about sex trafficking. And so it was, it's a serious matter. And so, but you don't get to the point of why the point of can you be impartial is you don't get to that. We didn't get to it until like after 2 o'clock. So.
Wow. And then at that point, you're just up there and you're getting questioned by both the attorneys. Right. Of whether you'd qualify or not. Right?
I didn't even get to the attorney stage. Okay. I was dismissed by the judge. Okay. I really wouldn't like to talk about it. I'll just go through more tweets on it. Christopher Lubesnick. Rumor is that the judge excused the esteemed Mr. Alexander during the lunch break when young Gil recommended the spot for sushi. Exactly what I did. I was like, Judge Schwartz, I could be a juror, but would you like to hear the sushi spot?
We did.
So here, I would like to make one serious recommendation to the American legal system, though, before we get on to actual sports betting. It does have one big flaw. Besides the sitting and waiting.
This is not Supreme Court.
Because, by the way, when you get to the point where you actually then do have to give, here's who I am, here's what I've done, here's what I do, here's why I might be impartial, here's why I would be partial, whatever. By that point, there's still 40 people in the room, and you go one by one. I was the second to last person, so I had to just sit there like, oh, my God. Okay. So, anyway, civic duty. Forgive me. Civic duty. Meanwhile, it was originally scheduled for a guessing lines in September, and I pushed it back to December. Like, I love this duty, but I can't do it during a guessing lines. So my one thing with the legal system is this. Probably separate the prospective jurors from the defendants when we return from breaks. Because there's a huge atrium on the bottom floor of this building.
Yeah.
And everybody's together. So you're like, if I'm going to the bathroom, I'm passing by. The girl, it was a guy and a girl, she's on her phone as I'm re-entering and as the other jurors are re-entering, prospective jurors, and she is as loud as possibly in an atrium that echoes going, oh, that, he got out, his case got dismissed, ain't no way, I'm doing, and so it's in my head, by the way, you like it? You got what I got?
Yeah, I got it.
So
yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, I could go in the courtroom right now and say, like, what do you Gen X people say? You get triggered by stuff like that. I could have done that. Or I could have gone the other way and said, her passion was really persuasive. I'm on her side. Like, I could have done either of those, right?
Yeah,
anybody
yeah.
could have. So anyway, that's my suggestion to the American legal system.
Good, yeah, that is a good point. It's a little odd that those, that those two groups of people are able to have a conversation and be in the same area.
It's a fascinating experience. I think everybody should do it once, Kelly, and by once, I mean once. Just once. By the way, James Ingram, great song, Just Once. That one might be what it was about. There's a football game tonight, everybody.
There is.
5-8 Chargers, 5-8 Raiders. By the way, on the show today, Bill Krakenberger joins us, and Joe Pita is about to join us to talk about this Survivor issue, guys. Where 13 are left, and I believe I ran into one. I believe I nailed this 2 days ago on the show, Kelly, where I said, hey, I know all you think this chop's going to be easy. It's an underdog. It ain't happening. It ain't happening because there was, in fact, one who had his own agenda on this. We'll get into that with Joe. We'll get his reaction to that. And then we'll get into, and this is just a warning, it's a PSA. There will be math on today's show. I know how much you love that, Kelly, when there's math on the show.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be mathematics. There's going to be a little division. There's going to be a little multiplication for those who are, because every once in a while we get questions about hedging. And Circus Survivor gives us an opportunity to get a Wall Street guy like Joe in here to talk about the optimal way to hedge such a thing. We'll have a back and forth about that after we get his reaction to this. And again, there was supposed to be after one person decided not to chop, there was going to be a sub-chop of remaining entries. That fell through as well. So they're just playing it through at this point.
How is that even going to work? Basically, if one of us wins it, this is how we're going to handle it?
Well, they could have boxed the other dude out and made sure he couldn't win the whole pot, right? Because they would have had like 12 different picks or something.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, that would get up.
We usually come in here Thursday morning, and even if I don't have a bet on a game, I have something to say about the game, maybe something to think about, maybe an angle, that kind of thing. Kelly, I can honestly say this game tonight between the Chargers and the Raiders, I got nothing. Raiders favored by 3. The total is 34.5. It's Easton Stick for the Chargers. He'll be their quarterback the remainder of the year as long as he remains healthy. Justin Herbert out for the season. Against Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders, there was some buzz in the Raiders camp that it wasn't going to be Aiden O'Connell, that maybe they'd go back to Jimmy G, but it looks like it will be O'Connell. The problem is this. We're at the point in both of these teams' season. They're both 5-8. They're both, let's face it, only mathematically alive. Yeah. They're really donezo. Keenan Allen's out tonight. I can't imagine you want to give Austin Eckler a full load. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's like at this point, what are you playing for? So maybe it's an Easton Stick run fest. He was a good quarterback at North Dakota State with his feet. And then on the Raiders side, a lot of players questionable. Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, Colton Miller, their left tackle. If he's out, the backup's got to go against Khalil Mack. There's too many moving parts. There's too many players. We don't know if they're playing or not.
Yeah, this feels like Hardwood handicappers every day with NBA injury reports where it's really hard to make a suggestion one way or the other when guys like – we don't know like guys like Devontae Adams whether they're playing tonight because he has an illness now apparently.
Yes,
I still think under's the only way I could look on this game. This is just gross, gross football. I mean, the Chargers are waving the white flag on the season, so bet that accordingly.
Yeah. Joe Pita on Survivor. 13 players left. How would he monetize this the rest of the way? That's next. Numbers Game. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Why don't you? Sign them now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Circus Survivor, as you may be aware, from an original 9,267 entries, each at $1,000 a pop. It is down to 13 after the carnage of the last few weeks. And the intrinsic value of each headed into this coming week, $712,846.15. That's a theoretical, right? Because not all remaining entries are created equal in terms of what teams they have left. And I, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's easy. It's 13 people. It's a chop. And I even gave an example on Monday of when I was talking to Kelly here on a numbers game, not Monday, Tuesday, pardon me, 2 days ago, where I said, hey, what if you know, if the 13 people chopped it up 13 different ways, each, they said, we'll all take $500,000. We'll play for the remaining 2.7. And I said, that sounds great, right? Kelly said, sure, it sounds wonderful. I go, but here's the deal. There's always one person who won't agree to this because of any number of reasons. One, they feel that they're just a better Survivor player than you. Two, they feel that their remaining teams on their entry are superior to the rest. Three, they love the dream of the $9.267 million. They can't separate that from strategy. And then the fourth, maybe there's an entry where, you know, it's comprised of eight people to begin with. Well, a $500,000 chop doesn't sound so good to them. By the way, there's other ones that that I didn't bring up. Spanky pointed out, we'll read Spanky's later when Crack is here, but Spanky pointed out maybe just some people have more of gamble in them than others. And then there's what Crack has said for many, many months now, which is also, you don't know these other people. There's the legality of a chop that, you know, let's say you agree to a chop, and then the person who wins it is like, I don't know you people.
Yeah.
I never agreed to anything. So there's all of that stuff.
And way easier to figure that stuff out with 3, 4, 5 people than 100%. This number of people.
Well, so just to let you know, the people over at SurvivorAtlas.com, they did an actual evaluation. I don't know the quite exactly the basis of this, but they evaluated the remaining entries, the remaining 13, and they assigned values to each of them. Circus Master, whoever that entry is, considered the power ranked number one, if you will, at this point, all the way down to Paos there at the bottom. The entry that was the holdout was Golden Boy. Golden Boy has identified himself as a, we know him to be a poker player, and essentially his, can we show the tweet from him, and we'll get to Joe after that, because this is, he came out, his name is Sean Perry. Sean doesn't, you know, we've seen some old tweets about Sean from other poker players that weren't particularly flattering, but it's Twitter, who knows. But Sean himself wrote this is in his own words. I am in fact Golden Boy. However, I am confident in plays, so I am not interested in chopping. I'm the greatest bettor ever. He's got to be trolling everybody. Good luck to everyone. Hope to see you all at the finish line. And then there, again, I mentioned this before the break. The others were pondering a chop amongst themselves. That, at this moment, has fallen through, so there is no chop agreed to at all. We bring in, ladies and gentlemen, a man whose brain is bigger than all of ours combined. He's a Stanford MBA graduate who made his hay in his career on Wall Street, of course, is the author of Trading Bases, Moneyball for the Money Set, and, of course, the 2019 Masters preview in between. It's the great Joe Pita. How you doing, Joe?
Gil, good morning. And this is the third year in a row we're doing this. I consider this our civic duty to, you know, potential hedgers in Survivor.
Yes. And before we get into that, because we'll talk about the definition of a hedge and we'll go from there, we'll give the real examples of this particular Survivor group. What do you make of this? I talked about it on Tuesday. I'm like, a chop is a dog. And sure enough, a chop ain't happening, at least at this point. What do you make of a person like that in the end who takes that position?
You know, I don't think you can tell anyone how to handle their own capital. So I will say this. I'd put my personal thing in there. I would always chop for, say, $100,000 each, regardless of whether I thought my entry was good or not, you know, or better or worse. That would be easy for me. 12 people left. Okay, we're playing for $8 million. Everybody walks away with $100,000. That to me just, that makes $100,000 some certain. And even if I have the opportunity to hedge or even if I have the advantage, there are transaction costs to all that stuff. And to me, you know, I would do that unquestionably. Spanky's tweet this morning didn't make a lot of sense to me. His, not that he went chop, that's fine if, you know, you got gamble in him, but one of his reason was that by knowing other people want to chop, he's got a psychological advantage over them. And this isn't poker. As one, I thought, respondent quite logically said, oh, no, a professional gambler won't chop with me. I'm so nervous. I ended up choosing the Jets this weekend instead of Miami. So now I get Spanky's point. Spanky's point is in normal games of chance, if somebody is desperate for a chop, you do have an edge over them. So the way you would exploit that is not by not chopping or not by thinking that, okay, they're going to play poorly going forward. The way you would do that is you would individually reach out to them and say, I'll buy 15% of your entry for 10% of the intrinsic value. Like, that's how you capture somebody's need to take out a certain amount of money, right? You make them overpay for insurance. So I thought that. And then, Gil, I have one other thought that this is going to surprise you because I did this overnight. You just put those power rankings up there. I'm not going to dispute the calculation. I know Unabated has something going too. And I'm sure that they're just using look-ahead lines, right, and most logical pick. And this is the, you know, it's ranked by people that have the highest money line or the best chance to get through 20 weeks. That is not how I would power rank those teams. I'm going to say, let's talk about this next week, because this goes to sort of our thought experiments from last or 2 years ago with Jeff, when you know, I have credibility here because I walked the walk. When I took Las Vegas on Thanksgiving 2 years ago, even though I still had Dallas left, because my philosophy is up until Thanksgiving, this is a handicapping contest. From Thanksgiving on, to me, it becomes an expected value contest. And I am no longer trying to make picks that give me the best chance to get through 20 weeks, I am making picks that have the most expected value.
Yes.
And that is also because there's hedging available. And I would say that I look at that list, and to me, there are, well, here's why I don't want to go into the details. It's the Heisenberg principle. I think we know Heisenberg from Breaking Bad, but the Heisenberg principle, I believe, says that that which gets observed gets changed. And I don't want to get in anybody's head until next week. Let's see what happens going into next week. But I would say I think there are three entries that are heads and shoulders above the others, and they are not the three that are listed at the top. Oh, and then finally, Golden Boy. You know, the tweet is funny. The confidence is funny. I don't know if, like you, you made a Seinfeld reference earlier in the show with Kelly.
Yeah.
But Golden Boy, I don't know if you remember, that was a Seinfeld reference. I don't know if that's why that's his handle, but Golden Boy was the shirt that Jerry always took out of the laundry first. And I will say, for as funny as that tweet is, and he may be sly as a fox, because I and again, this might be something to talk about next week. I can certainly see a reason why he would be inclined not to chop. But let's see what happens this weekend, and we can, you know, maybe talk about that next week.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you said there I just want to seize on, which is, you know, it's a handicapping contest for a while. Then in your mind, it shifts to an expected value contest. I don't want to, you know, characterize Spanky. Spanky went through a whole thing, which is perfectly valid from his perspective. He almost, from his perspective, it shifts into a poker game right at that point. So there's so many different ways. That's why this is the greatest contest ever, because there's so many tentacles to it in this regard. And so I want to get into, after the break, we'll keep you one segment here over. I want to get into what defines a hedge. Now, how do you monetize? What is the optimal way to monetize this? And this is, honestly, I think for people who are interested in being survivor contests in the future and who hope to be in this position, this is a pencil and paper kind of segment to come out, and we'll try to go through it as clearly as we can. And I'll have some questions for you, Joe. I'll have a little pushback on one or two. Not pushback. Well, maybe pushback on one thing. And I'm curious if only someone of your pedigree would have been able to come up with this. We'll get into all of that. Joe Pita joins us. By the way, you can follow Joe on Twitter at MagicRatSF. His little tribute to Bruce Springsteen, one of his musical favorites. Coming back, Circus Survivor Talk right here, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook's got your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Oh, Greg Jones, L.A. Joneser. You know who that is? That's the guy who mistakenly picked the Packers on Thanksgiving, meant to take the Lions. And Greg has been great. He was informing me during my breaks yesterday in jury duty about all the chopping drama and what was happening and what looked like it would happen and what didn't happen ultimately with it. So I thank Greg tremendously for that. He said, oh, talking about the Joe Pita segment, he goes, isn't betting the money line on your opponent's selection a legit hedge? You either win your bet or the value of your entry goes up at least $75,000 in value. Yeah, Greg, that's what he was talking about. But he was just talking about doing it thoroughly with everybody's. I suggest that everybody involved in this hit up Joe. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we have the PDF, so to us it makes complete sense. And I know on a radio show it's tough to convey everything. But yes, that's essentially what he's talking about. The way that he does it, though, the thorough way that he does it, requires a lot of capital. But one of the things at the very beginning that he said, the perfect hedge is to have other people invest in your entry, which some have done. Grant, I always think of 30 Rock when I hear about the jury duty process. Oh, it's a meme of Tina Fey as Princess Leia saying, I can read people's minds, and they dismiss you immediately. J.C. Gabagool. Bill, can I borrow 40K? Thanks. you also got another 40K one.
It wasn't borrowing 40. It was more like going partners with guys, giving them, you know, like making them money, and then they still – people are amazing. They don't care. They people jump over a $100 bill to steal a dollar.
New York Mets. What, crack? Someone took you for 40K? Just give the word, and Tommy Cutlets and I will break knees. Just kidding. Tommy Cutlets is a little busy right now. Shine, Professor Shine. Crack is right about assuming the legality of a chop is automatic. Oh, he's 100% right. Look back at the entire Jamie Gold World Series of Poker fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
Auburnist, good to know today's McLaughlin Group's topic is the American judicial system. Over the Levee wants to know, have you watched Bookie? Nick Bakay's Bookie. Have you watched it, Kelly?
I haven't seen any of it. Would you guys see it? Did you see it?
I've watched all four episodes.
What did you think?
I love that they're speaking our language.
Well, I have a guy back east that tells me, he goes, you got to see it. My buddy in Scranton's like, listen, you got to see this thing. It has so many cool little parts. It's funny. It's real. It's, you know, like, I just didn't watch it.
I've only seen the first two so far.
I always
it's a quick watch, though. It's 30
really
minutes.
Small. Yeah, really.
I always, like, pick on those kind of things. So, like, because we know so much more, we're immersed, as you say, closer to the sun. It's the reason why I don't watch them even.
But. Oh, it's like that Adam Sandler one where, like,
yeah,
can you bet on who wins the tip?
Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
I think the movie was pretty good.
I actually thought the movie was okay.
But, yeah,
but
like, when
so
it's
many
the closing.
Parts.
Yeah, it's like the closing, like, final bet of how he's going
to
make all his money.
Mohegan Sun to make a bet on a prop. I mean, come on.
Same game parlay with who wins the tip.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one offered anywhere.
for that amount of money, too. We know if you know, you're betting that kind of money. You're not getting that kind of money in down.
I'll tell you what I did watch last night after a grueling day of performing my civic duty as a prospective American juror. I sat down and watched. This has nothing to do with sports betting. I watched this movie on Netflix. Have you heard about this? Leave the World Behind?
No.
Mahershala Ali, Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon.
Sounds like a great cast.
It is fantastic.
Ooh, I got to put it on. What's the name of it again for everybody?
Leave the World Behind.
Leave the World Behind.
I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to say, go ahead and watch this.
So I never understand, even with all these streaming services we have these days, how does, like, you mention a movie like that with that kind of cast.
Yes.
And the fact that I don't even know what you're talking about is still bizarre.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Like, very good point.
We're in a different world. For sure,
just
we're
a
in a different
world.
Yeah. I don't love how it ends, but I'm not going to even tell you. I'm not going to tell you what it's about.
No, I'm not
just
watching
go
it.
Watch it.
I don't want a bad ending.
No. Go watch it. Because it makes you think.
It's funny
you
guys say that, and we could talk about anything here.
Yeah.
I'm something you guys probably don't know about me. I am obsessed with the whole John F. Kennedy assassination thing.
Really?
I love watching everything I can find. There's great documentaries on YouTube. Sure enough.
Interesting, because you weren't even alive. None of us were alive.
No, we weren't. Yeah. But I love the whole story behind it. I know a lot of things behind it. I've watched so many. I've watched 20-some specials. I seen one of the best ones last week. Someone sent me. It was on Hulu, which, you know what? It was on Disney, too. So it's streamed. It's called One Day in America. It's a three-part documentary. They added the colorization to it. They have videos. I've seen 20-some specials. I've never seen these clips and these videos. I think recently the government released some. And I remember reading they were going to in 2022 or 21. And all these videos must have came together on this one. It was so fantastic. I'm back to thinking the only person that killed Oswald. The only person that killed Kennedy was Oswald. And I thought, you know, there's so many conspiracy things out there. They try to sell you on things. Boy, you watch this one, and, you know, just that, you know, after the police officer, Tippit, was brutally assassinated, terrible on the street, he definitely did that. And, you know, it was just so good. And the video footage they got, I'd never seen before, just something else. It's the day that America lost its innocence is when Kennedy was assassinated.
Everyone who was alive remembers where they were.
Yeah.
I had a friend recommend that one as well, too. And same thing, Bill. I was like, I don't really watch. Like, I don't. How I'm not
they,
a big.
But, you know what it is? They interviewed the real guys. If you watch the of course, we've all seen that Zapruder film when, the president was shot twice and Mrs. Kennedy jumping out on the trunk. What she was actually trying to do was grab brain particle. It's unbelievable. And then the Clint Hill was the Secret Serviceman that jumped on the back of the car. Clint Hill's 90 some years old. He did an unbelievable job being interviewed this way. I've seen him before. Now they interviewed another Secret Serviceman who I'd never seen him before. He was so bothered by it that he quit the Secret Service 6 months after Kennedy was killed. So he was on there. The family members, the guy that drove Oswald to work that day. He's 90-some years old. He was on there. And he was, like, asking him, like, what's in the back seat? And he goes, whoa, what's that big thing in the back seat? Oh, it's curtain rods. Like, there's so many things that it was just so good. It was really good.
Lou Finicaro, Sweet Lou, Gambaloo, adds the Mob Museum here in Vegas has an outstanding, complete, thorough breakdown of the Kennedy assassination. And Tim Lawson, who knows of these things, talking about influencers being shut out of that. He goes, I'm pretty sure one of the media people at Facebook is formerly of Plaza, where she helped make Plaza a current content creator friendly location. Either the midnight access for influencers was a calculated decision, or it was made by someone above her office's pay grade, talking about the Fountain Blue opening and influencers not being allowed in until midnight with everybody else.
Interesting. That's interesting. So, you know. Maybe, listen, I'm gonna go there eventually.
He says, I have no intel. I'm just guessing based on who's over there.
Yeah. And it could be someone that's up. A lot of these people that run these casinos, they're people that don't even gamble. They don't even know the pulse of their own business. And they go up to an office and with their little fancy college degree and make decisions for everyone else in the gaming business. And that's just what it is, and we know that. But I'm going to talk a little sports betting here.
What?
Yes.
Bill.
Yes, sports betting.
Bill, that's so on off brand for you.
Well, it's Saturday. There's three games and they're all spaced out. 10 o'clock, 1:30, 5:15.
Love it.
West Coast.
Love it.
So of course
there's college football day.
Listen, years ago the NFL would, not condone gambling and stuff, and all of a sudden and you wonder why these games are always spaced out. Oh, for the viewership. People are just fans of the game. No. BS. People are gamblers, Commissioner. So, again, you don't have to bet every game because it's on TV. Even tonight's game. This, Las Vegas, the Chargers, could be a snooze fest like we were saying, the three of us. You have to bet because it's on TV? No, you don't have to bet because it's on TV. You don't have to bet because it's the only thing to watch. And Saturday is the best example. Three games spread out. You're probably going to make bets just based on these games being on NFL games being on TV Saturday. And Gil's right, there's other things. There's great football games you have and college football games. But you just don't have to bet all three of these games. And there's ways to get at games, guys, rather than bet sides. If you guys know me, I'm not a big side guy. I mean, I'll give one out because people want them every week. Maybe a 1% game that's worth, a small fraction of an edge. But mostly it's totals. It's teasers. It's props, of course.
Well, we always say this.
You just don't have to bet every game, guys.
We haven't said it in a while, but the biggest advantage for those who are new to betting, the biggest advantage that you have over a bookmaker is that they have to post everything. You get to pick and choose what you bet. And so that's a great example of what you're just talking about. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to. Pro tip.
11 to 10, you're laying for that privilege, though. So just remember that. And that automatically equals a lot more when you're betting more on the late game because you lost the earlier games just to chase that you weren't planning to bet. So,
yeah. Get even deeper, Billy.
Yeah.
Just wondering where you went. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, who, by the way, you can follow on Twitter at Bill Krakman with a K. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is here, and VSiN has an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? No problem. We're giving away this year's College Bowl betting guide to everyone. We got spreads, totals, and expert picks from the likes of the Golics, senior and junior. Steve Mackinnon, Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Once again, shout out to Brent for being on the Megapod last week. Put a bow on this bowl season. Get a free copy of our VEASAN College Football Bowl Betting Guide absolutely free. It don't cost you nothing. Visit VEASAN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets. Let me read through the rest of the... Oh, man, there's so many. Maybe I can't read through the rest of them. Buddhist man, I'm an hour and 15 minutes behind. Why are you telling your jury duty story over Randy Macho Man Savage's entrance music? It was more of a graduation music.
Yeah.
Than patriotic music. Yeah. Everything we found patriotic was like a march.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
J.D. Emmons, the segment last year and today with Joe Pita is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Oh, to be that intelligent. Pat Montefort, all this jury duty talk, and what do I get in the mail yesterday? You guessed it.
No way.
Thanks.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Gil. It's all your fault.
That's incredible.
Yeah, sorry. Did I do that?
If you're a regular listener of this show and we're bringing up this jury duty thing and you actually got summons yesterday,
oh man.
My gosh.
Sorry. Midzy, I'm kind of surprised Crack hadn't heard of Prince Street Pizza. They're from New York City. Always has a line there all the time. Also worth the wait for sure.
Yeah, I heard of it, but I just never been there. I responded actually.
Oh,
We're such creatures of habit. Like we go to I go to John's Oblique or I go to a place called Scars. Someone turned me on, but there's lines there. There's crazy lines there. But I'm always going to those same spots.
Yeah.
I should be more open to doing that.
So many
or
good
Katz's
spots.
Or Katz's Deli. That's my like three spots.
Have you had the salami pizza at Nora's here? I talked about this last week.
No.
Bill, it's the best pizza I've
really?
Had in all of Las Vegas.
Wow.
Salami pizza, so wow. much more than... You
Nora's
know
how, is
you
a
know
great, how, great local restaurant.
You know how Kelly is so much more than a producer? That is so much more than a salami pizza.
Wow. Is it white?
No, sir, it is not.
Okay.
Kevin, a clone bone. Talking hedging and monetizing, have you ever thought about what it would really take to give out your sushi place... go fund me with all the listeners to get the sushi spot. Gil, everything and everyone has a price.
Wow.
I had not thought about that.
JT was confused yesterday why he was getting so many tweets about what his favorite sushi place is in town. It was so great. Jason H11, like, I got to shout him out. It was so great.
Shout out again to JVT for doing the show yesterday.
He's like, why am I getting all these sushi tweets? Like,
you and him again. Really should do a podcast. The numbers, guys. I can't find many rushing props yet for Thursday Night Football. Not one of my 8 books offering an Easton Stick one. You got to wait around for those to pop up oftentimes.
Well, this is a Thursday standalone game with so many guys on the injury report still questionable.
Everything
props
is,
are going to be slow.
Because it should be up by now, though.
Right, but as Kelly was saying, everything's dependent on who's playing and who's not.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're Kevin Ryan, just love Thursdays. Kelly so much more than a producer. Crack so much more than a gambler. And Gil, so much more than a law-abiding, conscientious citizen. Thank you very much. Nash, last name Nash. Leave the World Behind, my recommendation that I just talked about on the Netflix, is an amazing movie and kind of scary how accurate the plot can be. J&J Wateringhole, who was kind enough to introduce himself here at the D. Leave the World Behind was unbelievable, mind-racing material and loss of sleep after watching type movie.
Wow.
They don't come along often. Watch it, Bill and Kelly.
I'm with Kelly, though. How come we didn't hear this?
It's wild. Like, this is streaming.
That many streaming things that we don't. Big stars.
You say Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke?
Giant names.
Who else was I missing? There's one or two others.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon. There's also, I don't know if you know...
I don't know what Kevin Bacon's been doing recently besides car commercials with his daughter who looks way too much like him.
Boy, what a vehicle for his daughter to like become famous. Also has Mahershala Ali, who is a very famous actor as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's phenomenal. This is from... Let's see.
Lots of responses on that on your movie.
Jesse Welch, appreciate the shout out on the Netflix movie. I saw the trailer and now I'm definitely watching it. Montreal Max. We like Montreal Max.
Love that guy.
Too funny. We also watched Leave the World Behind on Netflix too, and it is thought-provoking with a few WTF moments, especially that Tesla scene. I will leave that to the imagination. Nevada Azer, JFK Revisited on Apple is a must-watch. 10 more years for the balance of the documents. Bobby Geddes. I got chosen for jury duty last year that lasted 7 days. The 6th day, I had to miss an annual golf tournament I do. We've come in second every year. They replaced me with a 25 handicap. I'm a 10, and of course, they won without me. Damn civic duty.
Obviously, yep.
And then Brian Harvey, carry cash, people. It ain't heavy. He caught that from you.
Yes.
By the way, Fezzik, is, you know, he's seven stars, right?
Yes.
So Fezzik, about once a week now, he'll be like, hey, I'm going to be at Caesar's gym. 12 noon, meet you there. Okay. So I don't know if you know this. I'm trying to shed some weight. It's very difficult
for
me.
So you pop over there?
So I'm like, all right, I'll meet you there. So I go over there. And, you know, Fez is one of these guys who, like, when we're on the treadmills, he wants to talk to you while we're doing it. And I'm like, Fez, I'm jogging now. I can't really talk.
I'm dying over here. Stop talking to me.
I did a 5K in San Francisco years ago, and the person wanted to talk the whole way. And I'm like, listen, I'm not one of these talk run people.
I don't talk when I'm walking. Never mind.
But it's, you know, we're Fezzik. God bless him for inviting me. It's sure. fantastic. But one of the things he did at one point, he takes out – we wanted to weigh ourselves, right? He takes out a wad of cash, and I think he determined that, don't hold me this, 10K is 1 pound.
Oh, yeah. 1 pound.
He's like
of
weighing the music. Yeah, weighing the money. It ain't heavy.
He's sick.
And Chance Copperpot, I am obsessed with with the JFK thing as well. There's a new podcast with Soledad O'Brien and Rob Reiner called Who Killed JFK that I am currently enjoying.
I don't know if I can watch based on Reiner.
Oh, Bill, stop it. Mike Alvarez, why is Crack talking about sports betting when this week is about important stuff like jury duty? Can't Crack talk about going to the DMV or something? Alvarez is great.
He is.
And Gil, you are a Patriot son or what? Great show. It's your civic duty. Thank you, numbers guy. Okay. Anything else you wanted to get off your mind before we roll?
I mean, I have a million notes, of course, but I mean.
And you never use them.
I don't. Dallas, okay. This week, yeah, analytics came into play. I'm sure you talked about earlier in the week. Analytics came into play this week on the games.
Jaguars.
The Jaguars and the Miami, right? The Miami game. The
Miami game. Titans, yeah.
So I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that.
Well, so when
Fick. But, yeah, people were in the books. I was in the sports book. People were screaming, this is fixed. I was in a book. People were screaming, this is fixed. It's only fixed if you don't have that side.
So the very first right, megapod of this year, the aforementioned Steve Fezzik was on with us with Todd Will and I. Todd Will and I are about to do one with Mike Pritchard, but we got into because Fezzik said at that point, this is before the season started, he said 80% of the teams know that when they go from 14 to 8, they should go for 2.
Right.
And I said to him, I go, there's no chance. I was like, you think 80%? There's no way it's 80%.
Huh.
And we started to track it, and I'm right, it wasn't 80%, but I think after the Mike Vrabel thing executed in a, not a standalone game, but one of two games on where the Titans successfully down 14 points with less than 3 minutes left, went from 14 to 8, got the 2 to 6, and then won the football game. I think it will be closer to 80% next year. I really do.
See what I mean? It's going. Yeah. It is going up.
Now, the Jaguars thing going from 4 to 2,
yeah.
Not so much. Like, yeah. I don't know that there's
more than...
Yeah,
you don't see that too much.
I don't know that there's more than two or three teams.
But
that
I understand it more now that yeah. now you're just going to... Now you know what you need. Where before you were just maybe a field goal ties, it goes to overtime or second over. Whatever. I mean, no, there's no second overtime. Right. It goes to overtime, though. I understand.
Right, right. But the 4-2 thing is more counterintuitive for people because 8-6, it's still you're still whether it's 8 or 7, right? Let's say you opted for the PAT as opposed to the 2-point conversion. If you fail on the 2-point conversion, it's still a 1-score game, right?
Yep.
At 8 points.
Okay.
4-2. Yes, it's still a 1-score game, but it's the difference between a field goal and a touchdown. And so for people, that's a little more difficult for them to wrap their heads around.
And last sports betting thing, because we only got about a minute and a half here. I'll just tell you, I don't know if we're at that point yet of must-win games this week. Not really must-win, but there's like Pittsburgh-Indy. That's almost must-win for one of those. Pittsburgh's got a tough schedule. They have to win that game.
Feels like an elimination game. Yeah.
But as we get on more and more, guys, the must-win teams, I know people, you know, everyone at home and maybe not the VSiN listeners are much smarter.
Yeah.
But people say, oh, my God, they got to win. I've got to bet them. They're playing for real. Well, of course, the bookmakers know that, too. So they're going to add a little bit of a tax for you to play that side. So you're getting some inherent value of just taking the teams that want to play the role of spoiler. I know we're a little too early in the season probably to talk about that, but just in case I don't get to it maybe next week or something, just know that you know these must-win teams, even when you're betting live and stuff, the other teams want to win just as much or maybe even more to play that role of spoiler.
Dr. Bob has the best line on this.
Okay.
He goes, if they're in a must-win situation, they must not be that good.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Now, I quote him that, and he corrects me that's not the exact quote.
Oh, okay. But it's close.
But I tell him, I go, that's a better quote. You should go with mine.
Guys, thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, sir. You're right about the build. You're right about it being built into the line.
It's built into the line.
That's the more important point. Thank you, Billy. Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Krakman with a K. For Kelly Billith, Gil Alexander. Tomorrow, Aaron Schatz on the show. Talk about his MVP thoughts, as well as his general thoughts on the NFL through the prism of DVOA. We've done all we can do. Best bets is next. I'm going to go do a Megapod now with Pritch. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.